Chapter 3, The Solari Trials, Part 2.
The rustling of fabric and the firm, measured sound of footsteps pull her from her thoughts. She doesn't need to turn to know who it is.
Dane Varos.
His voice is low, unreadable, but Serafina can hear the restrained edge in it. She turns to face him, taking in the way his shoulders are squared, his expression composed, but tense. He stands in the dim glow of the city lights, his counselor's robe brushing against the polished floor.
He was just leaving.
Alaric's gaze flickers past her, toward the direction Dane had gone, before settling back on her.
I saw you step away. I knew he'd come after you.
Serafina tilts her head, smirking just slightly.
I handled it.
I know.
He steps closer, searching her face as if looking for any lingering disturbance. She meets his gaze, unwavering. For all his political skill, for all his training, he is terrible at hiding his emotions from her. She can see the restraint in his eyes, the quiet frustration that Dane still circles their lives like a vulture. She reaches for his hand, lacing her fingers with his.
Don't let him get to you.
Alaric exhales, shaking his head slightly before pressing a brief kiss to her forehead.
I won't, but that doesn't mean I trust him.
He pulls away just enough to look her in the eyes.
Come, the others are waiting.
With his hand at the small of her back, he guides her inside. As they re-enter the banquet hall, conversation hums around them. The diplomats from Mars and Venus sit in polite discourse, glasses raised in half-hearted toasts. Tension lingers beneath the surface, hidden beneath measured words and well-rehearsed smiles. Serafina settles into her seat beside Alaric. Across the table, the Martian delegation eyes them with veiled interest. Among them, Dane sits, swirling his wine in his glass, his expression unreadable. And then, he lifts his glass slightly in their direction, a knowing smirk, a silent challenge. Alaric doesn't react. But beneath the table, Serafina feels his fingers tighten ever so slightly around hers. The game is afoot. The Martian envoy, Minister Lombros, a tall man with a chiseled jaw and piercing amber eyes, leaned forward, his fingers tapping rhythmically against his goblet.
Chancellor Alaric, we must discuss Mercury's stance on the Eclipse faction. Mars sees them as a stabilizing force. Not a threat.
Alaric calmly set down his own drink, leveling a gaze at the Martian.
A stabilizing force? Hardly. They burned my home and tried to kidnap my children. Forgive me if I find their methods unpalatable.
A soft chuckle came from across the table. Lady Selene of Venus, clad in flowing silver robes, swirled her wine as she spoke.
Gentlemen, must we always speak in absolutes? Conflict breeds opportunity, and the eclipse, whether we like it or not, is a part of this era's shifting power balance.
Serafina tensed beside her husband, her grip tightening on the stem of her glass.
Opportunity for whom, Lady Selene? Venus has remained neutral, yet you sit here advocating for chaos.
Lombro smirked, clearly enjoying the rising tension.
Chancellor, let's be frank. The Solari are just as much a militant faction as the Eclipse. The only difference is that they hide behind their so-called righteousness. If war comes, we will all have to choose a side. And Mars will not side with an ideal. We side with strength.
Alaric narrowed his eyes.
And what are you implying, Minister? That Mars will side with those who attacked my family?
Yombros raised his goblet in a mock toast.
I'm saying that power does not respect sentiment. If Mercury refuses to take control of its own radicals, others might be forced to step in.
The veiled threat was clear. Serafina set her drink down with controlled grace, though a fire burned behind her eyes.
Minister Lombros, my sons are not radicals.
The Martian leaned back, his smirk unfaltering.
That remains to be seen.
Before Alaric could respond, a diplomatic aide approached and whispered something in his ear. His expression darkened. Serafina turned to him, sensing the shift.
What is it?
Alaric exhaled sharply before rising from his seat.
We may need to cut this luncheon short. It seems an incident has occurred near the Solari training grounds.
Lady Celine arched a delicate brow.
Oh, I do hope it's nothing serious.
Yombros merely chuckled, a knowing gleam in his amber eyes.
Yes, Chancellor, do take care. The future of Mercury depends on it.
As Alaric and Serafina made their swift exit, they both knew this was far from over.
Twin Suns and Shadows.
Master Jorik decided to step back and let the twins do their thing. He noticed, when they get mad, they're near unbeatable.
Don't worry, Jorik. I won't hurt them too bad. The Shalit Biru wants them intact.
Kael and Zal moved in sync, their training kicking in as they advanced on Varric. The ground beneath them trembled with each step, the air thick with the heat of their powers and the crackle of battle. Varric smiled darkly as the twins approached, their eyes glowing with the intensity of their solar energy. He was calm, unfazed by the two young warriors who had long since outgrown their childhood.
Impressive, but you're still children.
With a flick of his wrist, Varric unleashed another blast of black flames. The fire billowed toward Kael, who swiftly dodged to the side, his solar-infused blade flashing as he parried the attack. Zal wasn't as quick, but he used the energy of the strike to redirect it into the ground, causing the earth beneath them to erupt in a fiery explosion of shattered rocks and molten lava. The twins had learned to work as one. Where one lacked, the other compensated, and together, they were an unstoppable force.
Zal, now!
Without hesitation, Zal dashed forward, leaping into the air with a grace that defied the burning landscape around them. He twisted midair and aimed a concentrated blast of solar energy directly at Varric. But the assassin was faster than expected. He spun on his heel, a dark shield of energy forming around him, just as Zal's attack collided with it. The blast was absorbed, and Varric grinned, his teeth glinting.
You'll need more than that.
Kael surged forward in the same instant, his blade raised high, cutting through the hot, oppressive air. He aimed for Varric's chest, a fatal strike, but Varric anticipated it. With inhuman speed, the assassin sidestepped, his arm flicking out like a snake. The hidden blade in his gauntlet swiped at Kael's torso. Kael blocked, but the force of the blow knocked him back, his body crashing into the ground. The air knocked from his lungs and he gasped, struggling to regain his footing.
Kael!
Varric didn't give them a moment to regroup. With a growl of frustration, he thrust his palm forward, sending a wave of black energy surging toward the twins. Zal managed to throw up a kinetic shield, but the impact sent them both tumbling back, their bodies burning from the force of the blast. Varric slowly advanced, his eyes gleaming with cold intent.
You're strong, but not strong enough. I'll take you both back to the Shalit Biru. You will serve his cause.
But the twins didn't flinch. They were not the same boys they had been. Their powers were no longer raw. They were focused, honed. The fire within them burned brighter than ever.
You'll never get us.
We're not your pawns.
The twins locked eyes, an unspoken understanding passing between them. They had faced worse odds before. They could do this. Ka-El's eyes sparked with golden light. He held his blade high, and the energy around it swirled like a storm, pulling in the power of Ra. He swung it down, unleashing a beam of concentrated light that cut through the dark energy in Varric's path. Zal followed suit, launching a torrent of solar energy from his hands that struck Varric's shield with explosive force. For a moment, Varric faltered, his shield flickering. The assassin's eyes widened as he realized he may have underestimated the twins.
No!
But it was too late. The twins unleashed everything they had left. Their combined attack breaking through Varric's defenses. The blast hit him square in the chest, throwing him back violently. He crashed to the ground, rolling to a stop several yards away. The air around him sizzled with the residual heat from the attack. Varric groaned, struggling to rise, but it was clear he was defeated, his body smoking and charred from the intensity of the blast. He slowly stood, his eyes flickering with frustration and disbelief.
This isn't over.
Ka-El and Zal stood, their chests heaving as they caught their breath.
It is, for now.
Solari warriors had been quietly gathering to watch the battle from the sidelines. They only interfere when a trained assassin attacks a defenseless civilian. They also knew better than to waste time on a weakened foe. They allowed Varric to leave.
You'll live to fight another day, assassin, but not today.
Varric hesitated. The energy around him crackled as he weighed his options. Finally, he gave a slight bow of his head, a signal of respect for the twins' power. Varric then vanished into the shadows, using his skills to seemingly teleport away. The battle was over, for now.
The luncheon, a private encounter, concluded.
Alaric's stride was quick, his mind racing with the implications of what had just been said. The Martian envoy's words were no longer just rhetoric. They were a veiled threat that could push the political balance even further out of their control. He glanced at Serafina, who was walking beside him, her expression set in that familiar mixture of concern and determination. As they approached the exit, Alaric's communicator buzzed once more, a soft, urgent pulse that cut through the tension of the moment. He reached for it, activating the device with a swipe of his hand.
Report!
The voice on the other end was sharp and clipped, as it always was in moments of danger.
Chancellor, I'm sorry to bother you. There was trouble at the Solari training ground, but it has been contained.
Are they okay?
Yes. Thanks to them, everything is fine.
Varric's failure.
The chamber was vast, its high walls pulsing with an eerie crimson glow. Wisps of black smoke curled along the floor, remnants of the incinerated figure that had stood there before. The heavy scent of charred flesh lingered in the air. Varric stepped forward, his boots echoing on the flawlessly smooth tiles. He forced his expression into a mask of calm, though his senses screamed danger. He had failed, and the Shalit Biru did not tolerate failure. At the heart of the chamber, a massive, floating sphere of searing golden light radiated power. The silhouette of a figure shimmered within, a presence projected through the sun itself.
The Shalit Biru.
A voice, layered with ancient tones, crackled through the chamber. You failed, Varak, just as Vaedris did before you. Yet you still live. Why? Varak knelt, his head bowed low.
My Shalit, I return not to excuse my failure, but to serve still. The twins are more powerful than anticipated.
The golden light flared, and the voice darkened. Excuses? I gave you a simple command. Recruit the two sons into the eclipse before they rise. Now, they will be harder to extinguish. And because of this, our conquest is delayed. Varak dared to glance upward.
The Kurai still serve our purpose. The resistance continues to weaken Mercury's grasp.
The Kurai are insects. The Shalit Biru spat, resonating with fury. Their vision is pitiful. They seek only to expel the outer worlders from their soil. They are not conquerors. They are not worthy. A sickening crack split the air as an unseen force gripped Varak, lifting him from his knees. He gasped, his breath stolen by the invisible grasp.
We can still use them.
The Shalit Biru's image flared brighter. No, we eliminate them. They are pawns, and pawns are discarded once their purpose is served. Mercury does not belong to them. It belongs to me. With a sudden release, Varak crumpled to the floor, gasping for air. The golden light dimmed slightly, the Overlord's fury momentarily restrained. Commander Heldrang will lead the next phase, the Shalit Biru declared. The commander enters the room and stands at attention. We will cleanse Mercury of the Kurai first. Then we move on to the Solari and the Council. The eclipse rises alone. Varak bowed lower, now understanding the new order.
It will be done, my Shalit.
The golden sphere pulsed one final time before vanishing, leaving the chamber in suffocating darkness. The battle for Mercury had begun.